April 10th. As we read scripture today from the Old Testament, we'll be looking in the final book of Deuteronomy chapter 34 and proceed on into the book of Joshua. Now, when your time comes to die, the important thing is not the grandeur of your funeral, but the greatness of your life. In fact, how you live now will in fact determine how you will die then. Moses lived in the heights, and he died in the heights. He often met God on the mountain, saw his glory, and experienced his grace. So keep your mind and heart in the heavenlies as you live on earth. Moses lived in God's will, and he died in God's will. So you never have to fear life or death if you're walking in obedience to the Lord. Moses died the death of the righteous, it says, because he lived the life of the righteous. And finally, Moses lived with a forward vision, and he died with a forward vision as he viewed the promised land. God let him see it, wouldn't let him go in, but he let him see it. The nation so often wanted to go back to Egypt, but he challenged them to go forward to the inheritance God prepared for them. It's good to plan your funeral, but it's also good to live your life day by day in such a way that you'll be missed when you're gone. And then as we get into the book of Joshua, chapter 1 talks about God equipping us. Also talks about God encouraging us. Joshua was not in an easy situation. He was not there in an easy situation at all. He was facing a difficult assignment, and he was replacing a great leader, Moses. Sure, he felt a little intimidated and inadequate. But God had equipped him and prepared him for this very work, just as God equips you and prepares you for the work he has for you. You see, Joshua had faithfully served with Moses and was now qualified to lead. The task that you faithfully do today gets you ready for what God is preparing you for. And God will encourage you. See, the inheritance can be claimed only by the obedience of faith. But faith and obedience demand courage. God encouraged Joshua by giving his promise and the assurance of his presence, and by reminding him that his success came from the Word. God also encouraged Joshua through the people. Are you an encouragement to your leaders? Well, with that, let's begin today's reading in the Old Testament. April 10th, Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 1, through Joshua chapter 2, verse 24. Then Moses went to Mount Nebo from the plains of Moab and climbed Pisgah Peak, which is across from Jericho. And the Lord showed him the whole land, from Gilead as far as Dan, all the land of Naphtali, the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, all the land of Judah, extending to the Mediterranean Sea, the Negev, the Jordan Valley with Jericho, the city of palms, as far as Zoar. Then the Lord said to Moses, "This is the land I promised an oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I told them I would give it to their descendants. I have now allowed you to see it, but you will not enter the land." So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, just as the Lord had said. He was buried in a valley near Beth Peor in Moab, but to this day no one knows the exact place. Moses was 120 years old when he died, yet his eyesight was clear, and he was as strong as ever. The people of Israel mourned 30 days for Moses on the plains of Moab, until the customary period of mourning was over. Now Joshua, son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him. So the people of Israel obeyed him and did everything just as the Lord had commanded Moses. There has never been another prophet like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. The Lord sent Moses to perform all the miraculous signs and wonders in the land of Egypt against Pharaoh, all his servants, and the entire land. And it was through Moses that the Lord demonstrated his mighty power and terrifying acts in the sight of all Israel. After the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, The Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant. He said, "Now that my servant Moses is dead, you must lead my people across the Jordan River into the land I am giving them. I promise you what I promised Moses. Everywhere you go, you will be on land I have given you, from the Negev Desert in the south to the Lebanon Mountains in the north, from the Euphrates River on the east to the Mediterranean Sea on the west, and all the land of the Hittites. No one will be able to stand their ground against you as long as you live, for I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you. Be strong and courageous, for you will lead my people to possess all the land I swore to give their ancestors. Be strong and very courageous. Obey all the laws Moses gave you. Do not turn away from them, and you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of the law continually. Meditate on it day and night, so you may be sure to obey all that is written in it. Only then will you succeed. I command you, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Joshua then commanded the leaders of Israel, "Go through the camp and tell the people to get their provisions ready. In 3 days, you will cross the Jordan River and take possession of the land the Lord your God has given you." Then Joshua called together the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. He told them, "Remember what Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you? The Lord your God is giving you rest and has given you this land. Your wives, children, and cattle may remain here on the east side of the Jordan River, but your warriors, fully armed, must lead the other tribes across the Jordan to help them conquer their territory. Stay with them until the Lord gives rest to them as he has given rest to you, and until they too possess the land the Lord your God is giving them. Only then may you settle here on the east side of the Jordan River in the land that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you." They answered Joshua, "We will do whatever you command us, and we will go wherever you send us. We will obey you just as we obeyed Moses, and may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Anyone who rebels against your word and does not obey your every command will be put to death. So be strong and courageous." Then Joshua secretly sent out 2 spies from the Israelite camp at Acacia. He instructed them, "Spy out the land on the other side of the Jordan River, especially around Jericho." So the 2 men set out and came to the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there that night. But someone told the king of Jericho, "Some Israelites have come here tonight to spy out the land." So the king of Jericho sent orders to Rahab, "Bring out the men who have come into your house. They are spies sent here to discover the best way to attack us." Rahab, who had hidden the 2 men, replied, "The men were here earlier, but I didn't know where they were from. They left the city at dusk as the city gates were about to close, and I don't know where they went. If you hurry, you can probably catch up with them." But she had taken them up to the roof and hidden them beneath piles of flax. So the king's men went looking for the spies along the road leading to the shallow crossing places of the Jordan River. And as soon as the king's men had left, the city gate was shut. Before the spies went to sleep that night, Rahab went up on the roof to talk with them. "I know the Lord has given you this land," she told them. "We are all afraid of you. Everyone is living in terror, for we have heard how the Lord made a dry path for you through the Red Sea when you left Egypt. And we know what you did to Sihon and Og, the 2 Amorite kings east of the Jordan River, whose people you completely destroyed. No wonder our hearts have melted in fear. No one has the courage to fight after hearing such things. For the Lord your God is the supreme God of the heavens above and the earth below. Now swear to me by the Lord that you will be kind to me and my family, since I have helped you. Give me some guarantee that when Jericho is conquered, you will let me live, along with my father and mother, my brothers and sisters, and all their families." We offer our own lives as a guarantee for your safety, the men agreed. If you don't betray us, we will keep our promise when the Lord gives us the land. Then, since Rahab's house was built into the city wall, she let them down by a rope through the window. Escape to the hill country, she told them. Hide there for 3 days until the men who are searching for you have returned. Then go on your way. Before they left, the men told her, We can guarantee your safety only if you leave this scarlet rope hanging from the window, and all your family members, your father, mother, brothers, and all your relatives must be here inside the house. If they go out into the street, they will be killed, and we cannot be held to our oath. But we swear that no one inside this house will be killed. Not a hand will be laid on any of them. If you betray us, however, we are not bound by this oath in any way. I accept your terms, she replied, and she sent them on their way, leaving the scarlet rope hanging from the window. The spies went up into the hill country and stayed there for 3 days. The men who were chasing them had searched everywhere along the road, but they finally returned to the city without success. Then the two spies came down from the hill country, crossed the Jordan River, and reported to Joshua all that had happened to them. The Lord will certainly give us the whole land, they said, for all the people in the land are terrified of us. April 10th. As we read in the New Testament today, we'll be narrating from the final part of Luke 13 going into chapter 14. It talks about opportunity. You know, God's kingdom is at work in this world, but many people fail to take advantage of their opportunities. You know, God feeds the birds of the air, but he doesn't pry open their beaks and stuff the food in. No, there is opportunity there. Many people fail to take advantage. Instead of entering the kingdom, some people just spend their lives opinionating and asking a lot of questions about it, going nowhere, spinning their wheels. You see, salvation is not a theory to discuss. It's a miracle to experience. I mean, no wonder Jesus wept when he saw the sinners passing by all those opportunities to be saved. Don't wait for opportunities to come. They're already here. Luke chapter 14 asks the question, Do I exploit people? When we eat together, it should be a time of loving fellowship and joyful gratitude to God. But the Pharisees turned tables into traps and exploited people. They used a man with a handicapping condition and trying to trick him. And they went to feasts only to receive honors. And they invited to their feasts only people who would return the favor. Hospitality is ministry only if our motive is to help others and glorify God. And with that, let's begin today's reading in the New Testament. April 10th, Luke chapter 13, verse 22, through chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus went through the towns and villages, teaching as he went, always pressing on toward Jerusalem. Someone asked him, Lord, will only a few be saved? He replied, The door to heaven is narrow. Work hard to get in, because many will try to enter, but when the head of the house has locked the door, it will be too late. Then you will stand outside knocking and pleading, Lord, open the door for us. But he will reply, I do not know you. You will say, But we ate and drank with you, and you taught in our streets. And he will reply, I tell you, I don't know you. Go away, all you who do evil. And there will be great weeping and gnashing of teeth, for you will see Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and all the prophets within the kingdom of God, but you will be thrown out. Then people will come from all over the world to take their places in the kingdom of God. And note this, some who are despised now will be greatly honored then, and some who are greatly honored now will be despised then. A few minutes later, some Pharisees said to him, Get out of here if you want to live, because Herod Antipas wants to kill you. Jesus replied, Go tell that fox that I will keep on casting out demons and doing miracles of healing today and tomorrow, and the third day I will accomplish my purpose. Yes, today, tomorrow, and the next day, I must proceed on my way. For it wouldn't do for a prophet of God to be killed except in Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones God's messengers. How often I have wanted to gather your children together as a hen protects her chicks beneath her wings, but you wouldn't let me. And now look, your house is left to you empty, and you will never see me again until you say, Bless the one who comes in the name of the Lord. One Sabbath day, Jesus was in the home of a leader of the Pharisees. The people were watching him closely, because there was a man there whose arms and legs were swollen. Jesus asked the Pharisees and experts in religious law, Well, is it permitted in the law to heal people on the Sabbath day or not? When they refused to answer, Jesus touched the sick man and healed him and sent him away. Then he turned to them and asked, Which of you doesn't work on the Sabbath? If your son or your cow falls into a pit, don't you proceed at once to get him out? Again, they had no answer. We're reading today in Psalm 79. Once again, Asaph is lamenting the invasion of the enemy. He had several concerns. He was concerned for God's inheritance. The temple was defiled, the city destroyed, and the people slain. God permitted these things to happen to his inheritance, but God would rather destroy his inheritance than allow his people to sin and rebel. And Asaph was concerned about God's name. What will the heathen nations say about Israel and Israel's God? The corpses and ruins bore witness to something that the world needed to know. God is holy and does not tolerate disobedience. He has sworn to punish and judge all sin. Asaph confessed the sins of the nation and asked God to honor his name before the nations. Psalm 79, verses 1 through 13, a psalm of Asaph. O God, pagan nations have conquered your land, your special possession. They have defiled your holy temple and made Jerusalem a heap of ruins. They have left the bodies of your servants as food for the birds of heaven. The flesh of your godly ones has become food for the wild animals. Blood has flowed like water all around Jerusalem. No one is left to bury the dead. We are mocked by our neighbors, an object of scorn and derision to those around us. O Lord, how long will you be angry with us? Forever? How long will your jealousy burn like fire? Pour out your wrath on the nations that refuse to recognize you, on kingdoms that do not call upon your name. For they have devoured your people Israel, making the land a desolate wilderness. Oh, do not hold us guilty for our former sins. Let your tender-hearted mercies quickly meet our needs, for we are brought low to the dust. Help us, O God of our salvation. Help us for the honor of your name. Oh, save us and forgive our sins for the sake of your name. Why should pagan nations be allowed to scoff, asking, Where is their God? Show us your vengeance against the nations, for they have spilled the blood of your servants. Listen to the moaning of the prisoners. Demonstrate your great power by saving those condemned to die. O Lord, take sevenfold vengeance on our neighbors for the scorn they have hurled at you. Then we, your people, the sheep of your pasture, will thank you forever and ever, praising your greatness from generation to generation. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 26. The godly give good advice to their friends. The wicked lead them astray.